You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. From the bus leagues to the big leagues, the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast has got you covered. Here's Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 108, and today is Justin Foscue. Justin Foscue. Let me say that one more time. This episode, along with all spring training episodes, is brought to you by Premier Properties. Whether you're buying, selling, leasing, or own investment property, Premier Properties can help you out. Go to SWDallasRealty.com. That's SW, like Southwest, DallasRealty.com, or DM me on Twitter at ReclinerNerd.com if you got questions about investing in real estate. You can also go to the RangersToday.com website, and there's a link up top for Premier Properties, and all our episodes during spring training are going to be brought to you by them. Thanks a lot, Premier Properties. Okay, guys, we got a rundown real quick about what we're going to do. Jeff's at spring training. We're going to go into spring training. What's up, dude? By the way,
I'm good.
Where are you? You're up in the press box?
Yeah, I'm in one of the radio booths. They're having their annual college tournament here.
So we may hear some stuff in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's always Oregon State. And I mean, okay. This place is really crowded. And Oregon State's just been hitting home run after home run after home run. I think they just got another. Yeah. There it goes. All right. So there's the cheers from the crowd.
It's not bad. Okay. So we got to address a couple. Here's what we're going to do, guys. First of all, Jeff and I are going to dig into what he's seen so far in spring training. We'll talk about any news, Chris Young, all of that. We're also going to talk about, I told you we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about, are the Rangers giving up on spending money? The ownership's cheap. I said, no, they're not. You're absolutely wrong. We'll talk about that. And then I do have to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room. I got on a deal yesterday talking about Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer chimed in. Just going to tell you where I'm sitting on that and explain it real quick at the end before we get Justin on here. Jeff, you've been there since Tuesday night. You saw everybody show up on Wednesday. You've been to workouts. Anything standing out besides talking to Chris Young?
No, not really. They're just not doing a lot right now. The news of the day here today is that Josh Young showed up and promptly had to go for an MRI with his calf, left calf. He was in a great mood when we talked to him. He's rooming with Wyatt Langford. All of a sudden, I saw him on a golf cart, and I was like, oh, well, he just must not be working out today. And he was working out. Apparently he hurt his calf. So he went for an MRI and we'll see what it is. I mean, I guess, he's here 3 days before the start of full squad workouts. So, I mean, if you're going to get hurt, get it out of the way now, but
they are not going to mess around with any little, they're going to say, sit down. If he feels like he's got a boo-boo anywhere, they're not going to mess with it.
Yeah, and the thing that complicates it if he is injured and has to miss some time to start the season is Corey Seager going to be healthy to start the season? So you could be looking at a Rangers infield of Nate Lowe, Marcus Semien, Josh Smith, and Ezekiel Duran, or Matt Duffy, who's in camp and played for Bruce Bochy early in his career, was runner-up for Rookie of the Year, I think in 2014. There are options. Justin Foscue, our guest, is a potential option. So he's been working at third base. He was working at first today when I saw him. But you just roll with the punches. But we'll see, you know, before anybody pushes the panic button or anything like that. Just let's see what the MRI says.
They're not going to be 100% healthy all year.
Right. You know, the problem with a muscle injury is it kind of lingers all year. So hopefully it gets knocked out if it's anything serious at all. Maybe it's just something that takes a couple of days. But we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. So you've seen – are the minor league pitchers and catchers here too?
There's some. They've been working out in the afternoon. Haven't really watched a lot of them. They're when they've started is coinciding with the clubhouse time, and so we're just kind of missing each other. I mean, there are enough of them in big league camp that you want to see who've been pitching. We've talked to a lot of them, and so anyway, it's good stuff, and you know, it's spring training, and it's my favorite time of the year. There are a lot of autograph hounds out. I think
they're already out.
I think they outnumber the fans at this point. Unfortunately, although more and more people are showing up, people, Chuck McCoy, a Ranger Day subscriber is here with his wife from Arlington. Our good friend Cal, who was married to the cookie lady. He's still coming out here. Saw him this morning. So, the usual suspects are here, but there are going to be a lot more people than are normally here.
Sure. That's part of it. I mean, by the time you and I get there, you're there till when? Next Friday?
Yeah, the 23rd. I'll come home for, I don't know, it's about 10 days, right? And then we'll head out.
We leave on the 6th.
And then I come back to Texas. When we come back together, I'm back for like 4 days, and then I come back out here. So, to finish off camp. So lots of stuff. And while we're talking about it, you need to click, go to rangersday.com. There's a $48 spring training special to sign up for 1 year. One of our new subscribers the last couple of days is Nui Scruggs from NBC5. So Nui knows what a value that is, but also what good quality content he'll be getting for a year. So, it's Nui Scruggs endorsed. So come on out and join the club. $48. That's $4 a month. So you can find that shaking out your couch cushions. So exactly. Let's do that. Let's build the subscriber base and have some more fun.
Absolutely. Now today is today the day that we're starting to see position players come in.
Well, Young and Langford. Yes. There've been a lot of guys here. A lot of the young guys are here. 40 man members, Dustin Harris, Jonathan Ornelas, Justin Foscue, obviously here. He lives here, but still a young 40 man member. Blaine Krim, who's not on the 40 man, he's here. So some of the non roster invitees or position players are also here. So it's going to grow. You know, I would expect that tomorrow will be a big day for guys either showing up or getting to town. And then I would imagine that by Sunday, everybody who's anybody is here and ready to go.
What is the report date? Today? Or when is it?
Well, there's not really a report date anymore from what the Rangers were telling me last year. You just got to show up. You know, just be here on the 19th or the first day of workouts. And they don't anticipate that, at least not yet, that anybody is not going to be here. Diego Castillo was a day late because he had some visa issues. David Robertson was given permission to not have to be here until tomorrow, I guess because he's 39 and has a career 3 ERA and 175 saves. So, but there are plenty of guys here, plenty of minor leaguers who you see every once in a while. So anyway, it's a good group. It's been pretty businesslike, I would say. Guys going about their business, no celebrating the World Series. We asked, and they've
done that.
Have to move on. They can't rest on their laurels, and so it's good. It's good that they're doing that, and that's the mindset. Because you know, if you get in a hole early, Nathan Eovaldi talked about it the other day. If you get in a hole early. You know, he won it in 18 with the Red Sox, and in 19 they were dreadful to start, and they never recovered. There's got to be an urgency. there's got to be a desire to get out there and be good again. And, you know, the Rangers have a pretty tough schedule to open the season. You know, they really do.
Well, and to piggyback off of everything you just said, you talked to Chris Young. You guys talked to Chris Young. He made mention that as far – you wrote an interesting article about Jordan Montgomery. It does not seem like that is really front and center for them, that Jordan Montgomery is going to be here. That's kind of what you alluded to, although you said there might – apparently you asked and there might be some creative ways, kind of what the Yu Darvish defer some money stuff, a way to do it. But your thoughts are – you don't think it's happening.
No, I think it's going to – I think it would have to take something – like that to make it happen. And then, you know, but then you, both sides have to want to do it. You know, Jordan Montgomery doesn't have the off field earning potential that Shohei Ohtani has. So does he want his money now? The Rangers, you know, how long after a contract do you want to pay Jordan Montgomery or any pitcher? So I don't know that I see it happening. It's too bad, but you know, one thing that a lot of people seem to forget is that the Rangers last year, for most of the first half, had Evaldi, Gray, Heaney, and Dunning in the rotation.
Yep.
Well, if the season were to start today, they would have Evaldi, Gray, Heaney, and Dunning, plus whoever wins the fifth spot. And you know, right now, Cody Bradford seems to be the front runner, but I got to tell you, I think Danny Duffy has a chance.
Yeah.
I wouldn't sleep on Jose Ureña, who finished the year well with the Red Sox. And then, you know, you never know if one of these young guys is going to bust out, but the Rangers are intent on looking at all of them. They want their 13 best pitchers, their five best starters, and they're going to do it. So, it was a interesting conversation with Chris Young. You kind of had to, it's been the elephant in the room the whole off season, that with the TV contract, the questions were kind of paired together. He said the TV uncertainty is a real thing. You know, the Rangers don't have a deal beyond this year, and this year's deal is for less money than they got last year. So, They have the highest payroll in club history. You know, it's not like the owners are cheap.
Exactly.
They have spent more money than any team the last two off seasons. And now, you know, obviously the Dodgers are a different category, but you know, rich guys get rich by being smart with their money, and they're already over the luxury tax threshold. That's not to say that they can't add somebody else. But any talk that the owners are cheap right now, or that the Rangers are complacent, they won their title and don't care anymore,
it's ludicrous.
That's just people looking for clicks or something. I mean, completely absent of any concrete thought.
These are the Ranger fans that were a pain in the ass all year long, that every time a loss happened, Bochy should be fired, someone should do this, they need to bench this guy or whatever. They're there. We love them. I engage them. You don't. But, I mean, that's what they're going to do. And if they're out there right now,
I'm trying to engage a little more. So,
do what?
But I understand. Hey, and great. If you're passionate about it, awesome. But this isn't a football season. This is a long haul. And a lot can happen.
You've got trade deadline.
You don't. Yeah. And you don't need to cut the kicker after day one. You know, the Rangers are going to be fine. So, you know, you just kind of let it work. It just works itself out. That's just the way baseball season works. And absolutely, I think the Rangers are going to have one of the best offenses again. They're going to have pitchers that know how to get outs. The bullpen's going to be better. So I'm not too freaked out here like a lot of people seem to be.
They have got guys on this team. The only bat they lost was Garver, who did, by the way, do well during the playoffs, but you've got Justin Foskey, Wyatt Langford. You've got other guys that are, you know, Ezekiel Duran, who had he was unbelievable for part of the season. You've got guys that can fill those spots. You don't have to fill it with one guy. You got two or three that can do it. You got some guys that are going to be at AAA who can get hot and force their way up here to do that. And then if none of it's working, not one of them can produce, how hard is it to go out and find some veteran hitter out there that you might be able to go trade and get that's just going to primarily DH. You can do it. That's one guy. Everybody in this lineup is going to go through a lull at some point. We all know it. They go through it, except for, you know, your top line guys. They usually they don't last very long, but that's part of this game. And I'm telling you, this lineup is so good. The back end of the bullpen looks way better than it did going into last offseason when we were coming in. You've got Jonathan Hernandez coming back. You've got LeClerc, who looked like LeClerc. Spores is coming into his own again. Now you've got Yates and you've got Robertson, who are joining the pack. Maybe Bradford ends up back in the bullpen. You've got – I mean, there's a lot of guys there that Bochy has to play with. And if you can get 5 or 6 innings out of your starters, I think you got a chance to keep yourself in the game. And this offense is never out of a game, ever. I don't care if it's 11 runs. This offense is never out of a game. Okay, with that being said, Jeff, I got to get to the last thing that we were talking about. And it's me that did it. I'll bring up what he said. But I want to just say you don't get into this, but I get into talking to guys on Twitter. You do a little bit, but not as much as I do. And a guy named – and so I've got to get into this because I'm the first guy between the two of us who kind of brought up Trevor Bauer. I said, what do you think? I mean, this guy that's doing cheap, you were kind of like, nah, you know, you didn't really give a strong opinion. You were just kind of like, I don't know, you know, there's some things there. That's kind of the way you felt. And So I went and did a deep dive. So he comes on, a guy named Jeff Bates, who is a listener to us. He likes us. Jeff does a little videos he makes sometimes. He came on and said, Trevor Bauer is going to be league minimum. The Rangers aren't going to get Jordan Montgomery. They need to do something like this. They need to go get Trevor Bauer. I responded to him and said, I don't think it's a good deal. I said, look, there's some things there. I think he even though she obviously was trying to set him up, or whatever. I think he did hit her, and there's some stuff out there. And Trevor jumped on.
Oh, really? Said,
yes. He responded to me. And let me tell you what he said real quick, because I didn't go back into it. Look, I'm not a guy that accuses somebody of something and, you know, anything like that. And I'm not going to, because I said you can listen to this. And I linked an audio to it. And I'll kind of say what the audio said in a minute. And I said, you can listen to this and be okay with him. Yes, it was consensual, but according to this, he punched her. A woman asked me to punch her. Everything stops there. I don't hit women. He came back and he said, I never punched anyone. He said, I said from the, hang on, let me find it here. I never punched anyone. He's responding to me. And I've said that from the day one. I have never beaten anyone either. Lindsey Hill lied about the whole thing. Okay. I didn't go back and get into it with Trevor Bauer. I'm not going to, because Jeff, you know, as well as I know, we have no clue what happened exactly. Neither one of us know. We cannot stand here and emphatically say, yes, he did or no, he didn't. I do think this woman was obviously trying to set him up. And there's some evidence of that going forth. I responded to, let me be clear to Trevor, because I think Trevor might watch this. Trevor, I have no problem with you getting back in the league if you're truly innocent. I really don't. And I don't know whether you're guilty or innocent. But what I can say is I did not want you to come to the Texas Rangers because Jeff is in the media. I am a fan. And I don't think any guy that just won the World Series after this season, first time ever in the history, should have to answer questions immediately about Trevor Bauer's on your team. What do you think of him as a teammate? What do you think about these charges? You understand that, Trevor. I don't think the Rangers need to be answering those questions. They need to be answering questions like Corey Seager, where are you at on the sports hernia? You think you'll be back for opening day? Jeff, you understand that. That's questions he needs to be answering. He doesn't need to be answering all the PR crap that everyone's going to have to ask about, do you think he did it? Do you think he didn't? All of that, because the Rangers are not going to answer that. Corey Seager can say he was a teammate. I never had an issue with him as a teammate, but I am not going to – that's where I felt on this. So that was my feelings on it, and I've addressed it. I appreciate it coming up. I have nothing against you personally, Trevor. I did not think the Rangers should sign you. And if y'all listen to that audio, you do have some explaining to do. That audio that I posted, she has him on the phone, and she says, I need to have a better – she said, I need to communicate better because the way you punched me or hit me, I couldn't go to work for a couple of days and it was more than it needed to be and I couldn't go. to which you responded, I don't want you to feel scared of me. That will never happen again. I didn't. And it's on the audio. Now, you could, in all fairness, just be trying to get a weird chick off the phone and just placating her to get her off the phone because you don't want to deal with her. That could have been it. So I'm not sitting there saying, but that's suspect in that sense of thing. All right. I've addressed it. You got anything to add?
I do and I don't. I mean, I think that if the Rangers had wanted to sign him, they would have done it by now.
Sure.
I think that, you know, Chris Young has an idea of the kind of player he wants on the team from a personality standpoint. And and I don't know if Trevor Bauer fits that or not. I mean, I interviewed Trevor once. It was for a story I did for a Japanese magazine. We did the interview in Arlington at the old ballpark. And he was great, you know, very insightful. He did record it. You know, I don't know how it came out in translation because I write in English and it comes out in Japanese. But he didn't say anything controversial or anything. It was about just kind of unorthodox. I think it was about unorthodox ways to prepare for games and things like that. You know,
you didn't know that this had happened between me and Bauer.
you see a lot of things happening with professional athletes and women who accuse people of these people of crimes. You know, notably the Bills punter. You know, the kid they brought into camp who had, like, I can't remember his nickname, like Leg of God or something, and went to San Diego State. He was in camp. He got accused of participating in gang rape. Turned out to not be even remotely true. He wasn't charged anything, but guess what? He doesn't have a job. This, you know, the Trevor Bauer situation, Lindsey Hill, you know, it's to his credit, he defended himself to the fullest extent he could. He's claimed innocence the entire time, and it came out. You know, there's plenty of evidence to show that she was trying to take him for money. And at the time, he was making a boatload of money, $30 million a year. So it's unfortunate that those things happen. But
there's also been pictures that have come out with her with black eyes and scrapes on her face. Now, I'm not saying there was also a
picture of her the next morning, supposedly, with nothing wrong with her at all.
Absolutely.
It's this subject that's unfortunate because, you know,
we don't know the answer
at the time, but at the time, you know, you're accused of this, the public jumps the gun in the Me Too era, you know, believe everything women says, the Dodgers, where they're located, they're in that culture. They have to
be an investigation.
MLB, who probably definitely does not like Trevor Bauer, you know, the way he's, and he's even admitted here in the recent months about how he shouldn't have spoken out to about the commissioner and some of the things there that probably put him in a corner.
Probably
made him a target in the commissioner's office. And but I think the thing is, and people have come out and said that, yes, Trevor Bauer is a good teammate, all of that. I think it would take a lot for Chris Young he would have to be convinced. He'd have to meet with Trevor. He would have to talk to him. They would want to do their investigation, like they investigated Wyatt Langford or any draft pick. They would have to feel 100% comfortable, because whether Trevor likes it or not, perception is that he's likes to beat women when he's engaged in sexual intercourse with them. And you know, the thing that has always been told to me is that if you're a general manager, do you believe strongly enough in the person that you're willing to stand up in front of cameras and say, explain why you're bringing this guy into your community? And Trevor Bauer, again, my experience with him has been very, very good.
Yeah.
No ill will toward him at all whatsoever.
I never met him.
Sympathetic to what he's going through, honestly, because it looks like he was set up, and you know, no charges have ever been filed lawsuits have been dismissed, and this Lindsey Hill has gone on TV and tried to, you know, continue the story, make a little money.
She extorted him. That part of it's relatively clear.
The matter is that, you know, once the, you know, it's like when somebody tweets something that's wrong, that's flashy, big headline, gets a bunch of retweets, you know, and then they go out and say, oh, I was wrong, and it doesn't get nearly the same attention. But once the seed is planted, you have this incredible, difficult task of overcoming the perception, and that's where Trevor Bauer is right now. And, you know, he's talked to teams, he's gone on TV shows and
podcasts. He's been on a lot of podcasts.
He's obviously defending himself if he's in stumbling upon our little
my comment to a operation
here, you know, and right. Is he a great pitcher? He absolutely is a great pitcher. Would he help the Rangers? Good. He 100% would help the Rangers. I don't think there's any question about it. It's just a question of if he's a fit in the clubhouse, and that's what Chris Young has to decide. And just based on what we know about Chris Young and the players that are on the roster right now, and what we may or may not know about Trevor Bauer, he doesn't seem like a fit.
He lacks a cohesive clubhouse. And let's be clear about one thing. Charges were never filed. I think if her intention was to try to extort him, I think by the time she ever thought about threatening, all these bruises that we saw, all these things were gone. And that it's a he said, she said, there's really no evidence either way that you couldn't have charged him with anything if she was already healed up from. And I'm not saying he's the one that put the bruises on her. Honestly, I don't know. I have no clue. And it's really sad if he is 1,000% innocent and he didn't even get rough in bed, as they say. I mean, I feel horrible for him. I really thought someone like the A's would be perfect for him. They're already in the middle of the biggest PR nightmare right now, where they can't figure out where they're playing. You sign Trevor Bauer, you let him deal with the media for the first all of spring training, get out there, do his thing, and you might flip him at the trade deadline for a lower tier prospect. You're not going to get a top prospect for him because of that, but let him make his little tour there. That's where I thought, if I was the GM of them, that might be someone I'm looking at. You know what I mean? Because the PR nightmare is already there. You might as well throw in a good pitcher to go with it that we can flip into something.
Yeah, but one thing, winning does cure everything. And if he come, you know, if he were to join a team and be great, I'm telling you, he would be embraced. But it's getting over that hurdle of public perception. And I hope he does, because he's an interesting guy.
Yes, he is. And he's a good ball player. He's a good pitcher.
Very good pitcher.
One of the best. He's an ace in this league when he is on
here. Cy Young, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, he should. He won a Cy Young. I mean, this is a guy who knows how to do it. And I do wish he could get back in the league. I think he's been unfairly punished for something that he more evidence points to him not doing than pointed to him doing. So. We'll see what happens. I just don't think it's a fit with the Rangers. I really don't.
And for me personally, the audio was a little uncomfortable. If my wife told me she wanted me to punch and choke and do all that in bed, it's just not me. I mean, I'm just not that way. And I'm not trying to say you even did that. You could tell me, John, I never did any of that. You know what? I would have to take your word for it. And I don't know. And so I'm not. I don't think my team that I love, I'm a homer for the Rangers. I don't want any of these guys having to answer that question right now. I want them to be answering the short offseason. We want to repeat. How you feeling after the off? That's where I want to be when the season starts. I don't want to be answering any of this weird stuff to the side where you're having to roll your eyes and go, again, he seems like a good teammate. Yes, he throws. He's good to be on our team. I don't know anything about that stuff, and I don't really know exactly what he was trying. That's the questions that are going to have to be asked for any team he gets on.
Sure.
And that's why I don't like it. Guys, let's get Justin Foscue in there. I think he texted you a while ago. We're going to get him in here, and let's get Justin Foscue. Then we'll go down to the bus leagues real quick after that. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
All right, Justin Foscue right after this. All right, guys, and joining us right now from Arizona, where he actually lives, but it's the start of spring training. He's in the big league camp, but he's been there before, but now he's on the 40-man roster. It's Justin Foscue. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you know, Cody Bradford beat you. He was the first three-time guest. You were the only good two-time guest for a long time. So you're the second three-time guest. We'll get you a green ribbon, I guess, a red ribbon. I think blue is for first, but thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
You get here early, and it's about 1:45 right now, so
yep.
Not a full day, but pretty full. I saw you sweating over at first base. I think I didn't tweet it, but a lot of people tweeted.
A lot of people were tweeting about it. I'm getting text messages about it.
How was
first base? First base is fun, man. Like, I think it's obviously something different than second and third. It's obviously more similar to third than it is second. So, and I've only played like 8 games there, mm-hmm. and I had fun when I was over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I told the guys and I told the infielders, when I'm over there, I want to be that guy that, you know, gets out there early, gives the guys, you know, time to warm up in between innings. I want to take pride in that. I want to take pride in picking every ball that if they make a bad throw. Like, I want to be that guy that picks it. Like, when I'm an infielder and I want to be able to say, like, man, I feel comfortable throwing it over first. Like,
yeah.
I'm comfortable with that guy catching anything wherever it is. And, like, whenever, if I'm, you know, going to be playing first, like, I want to be that guy for those guys. So, it's been fun so far. I would say, like, you don't really have to worry too much. There's, like, the angles at first base are, you know, way easier than I would say third.
Okay.
And then you obviously don't have to worry about throwing it across. So, but I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, there's some things I got to work on over there, and the plays, you know, turning double plays and the cutoffs and all that, I still got to learn. So,
yeah.
But so far it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, today you were working on, when I watched you, holding the runner, getting off the base, catching a grounder, throwing to second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I guess what Moneyball made it famous, you know, first base. It's easy to learn, right, Wash? It's incredibly difficult, or whatever it was. But I think if you've played everywhere else in the infield, it's not going to be a...
Yeah, I would say it's definitely easier than all the other positions. I'll say that. I didn't want to say it, but, like, yeah, it's way easier than third. It's way easier than second.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a learning process,
and it's another tool in the toolbox. I mean,
absolutely.
You're trying to get on the field. Your bat can put you on the field. You need multiple places to get out there, and there, you know, look, this infield's relatively set, but you're a guy that can come in here, earn a spot on this team, and not only DH, but you could give guys a blow at third, at first. You play second base. I don't know if shortstop's in your wheelhouse, but I mean, probably not.
I would have been playing up in the minor leagues if they thought that I could play shortstop in the show. But no, I think, like, yeah, you said it good. Like, this team's loaded in general, the infield's loaded, and I want to be that guy to where, like, if somebody needs a break, or if you know, if Boach wants to make a late game lineup change, and I can come plug in somewhere, like, I want to be that guy. I want to be reliable, and working at all the positions is definitely going to help me get that chance. So I'm just excited for the opportunity.
So when you were at the Frisco Caravan stop, you told us, hey, I like DH.
Yeah.
What do you like about DH?
What do I like about DH?
It's kind of unusual for a young player to say that.
Well, I think DH, I only got to worry about 5 at bats. Not to say that I don't like playing infield and and, you know, helping the, you know, field for the pitcher, but it's not as much on your mind when you go play the game. It's, oh, I just got to, you know, get myself ready to hit for 4 to 5 at bats, and that's all I got to worry about. And, you know, mentally, you know, it takes a toll on you. Or I wouldn't say it takes a toll, but playing every day in the field for a full year, that's a grind.
Oh, sure.
And when you can have, and we talked about, like, a little bit on this in the Zoom, but, like, having a day where you can just DH gives your legs breaks. It's a lot, you know, less stress on your body. And then all you got to do is just hit. And The most, you know, the best tool in my toolbox is me hitting. So I wouldn't complain if I was a designated hitter.
What did you do this offseason with your swing? Ross Festermaker, we had him on last week. He said he did put in a lot of work, did some little things. You're still batting right-handed.
I'm still batting right-handed. Okay, that's a good start. I haven't developed a left-handed swing just yet. I think this offseason I had an emphasis of getting stronger rotationally.
Okay.
I feel like I'm a strong guy in general, right? But when you're swinging and there's a certain point to where I'm producing as much as I can with my swing, and I think I want to hit the ball harder. I want to hit the ball with more force, and so I did a lot of rotational stuff.
Okay.
That was mainly the big thing, and then towards the end of the offseason, I went and hit with Tim Hyers in Atlanta.
Oh.
And he's a hitting guru, so
yeah.
He cleaned up some stuff with some connection and sequencing in my swing, and I'm putting it all together now, and the ball's coming off way harder, and I feel really good, so hopefully it translates.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting to listen to Tim and Donnie talk about hitting and about just things that I would never think of. I mean, I'm obviously not a baseball player, but it's stuff like that, like the biomechanics of hitting. Donnie's a huge believer in that, and I'm assuming Tim is too. And it's just, it's really interesting to hear them talk about the body and how they focus on it to make you guys better. And yeah, I mean, the more contact you get, the more you make contact. That's never been a problem. I mean, shoot. Now, that's what they love about you, I think, but to maybe a little bit further, a little bit harder.
I think what's going to separate, you know, this year, you know, and going along with my career than these past couple of years is when everything's connected and sequencing good, the ball comes off way harder. And there's a point of knowledge when you talk about hitting where, like, I've always been a good hitter and I've always been able to make adjustments on my own, but I want to get better. Like there's the small little details about the swing and about like creating energy into the ground and creating energy throughout the swing that I didn't really understand until, you know, I really started talking with Tim, and Tim kind of made it very simple for me to understand. And it definitely makes a difference.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. So, and that's all I'm going to tell y'all. Hopefully y'all see it on the field more than it matters what I'm actually saying, but it definitely makes a difference.
But you're going to get a chance to play a lot this spring. I think, you know, games start, the 23rd.
Next Friday, right?
Next Friday.
I'm going to be here, actually. You know, the team just won the World Series. They played an extra month. I think that a lot of guys are going to get some time down early on, whether they want it or not. You're going to get chances.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I want to be that guy that my goal is to make the team out of camp.
Yeah.
I set that standard for myself after they won the World Series. And since I didn't debut last year, my goal is to make the team out of camp. And, you know, if that doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But that's my goal and that's my expectation for myself. And I'm going to hold, you know, everything I do in camp to that standard. So I want to help the team win. I think I reached a point in my career where, you know, I'm ready and I want to contribute on a really talented and loaded team like the Rangers. And I don't think a lot of players can have that opportunity to even say that. So, I'm excited. I'm definitely going to be playing a lot this spring all over. And I'm going to try to make the most of my opportunity.
Well, I mean, you have plenty of experience, you know. I mean, White Langford's in camp with 161 minor league at bats. You know, it just seems like they don't put a number on it. Like, you know, the old days is like, well, you got 500 A ball, 500 double A. I'm telling you, we're watching Oregon State in New Mexico, and three-run homer. This guy's got two three-run homers because he hit one in his last at bat. Oregon State is sticking it to the Lobos here, unfortunately, but nothing. I'm a big New Mexico fan. I don't know why said, unfortunately. But, hey, but it's getting a little uncomfortable.
You know, it ain't Mississippi State, man. There ain't nobody there to show who's the boss.
It's 14-1 in the sixth.
It's a good start for them.
Yeah. You talked to us also in Frisco. I thought it was very interesting. You know, you were asked a question about batting average, and you're like, hey, I started 0 for 14.
0 for 17.
Sorry. 0 for 17. Help you out. And then you still had a good year. The one thing that stands out to me when I look at it is you walked more than you struck out.
Yeah.
Is that something you've been working on? Is that something you've always done? Or is that you've found a way around the automated balls and strikes?
I've always been a guy that has good strike zone discipline. I've always been a guy that puts the bat on the ball with mm-hmm. two strikes. And I think with the automatic ball strike zone system, that hitters have, I wouldn't say an advantage. I would say they have more in an advantage than previous years. But in my opinion, it gave a standard to the strike zone. And for me, that plays because I know the zone.
Sure.
And I did pride myself on I did set a little goal for myself that I want to walk more than I strike out this year, because like that's going to stand out.
Oh yeah.
Now that definitely came to me just trying to put the ball in play sometimes. And I think that's, you know, moving forward, that's not going to be my number one goal. I want to be a guy that impacts the ball and not just, you know, slaps at it just because I don't want to strike out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've always been a guy that knows his own and, you know, prides himself on, you know, being a competitive at bat every time and not just being somebody that when they get to two strikes, it's an automatic out. That automatic ball strike zone system definitely plays for me. I hope they bring it to the show here soon, because I think it's just a standard to the strike zone. Pitchers throwing 98 sinkers that get a call off the plate, that shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
I got no chance.
All right.
If that's a ball, like,
preach it.
Face, right? Like I think that's fair. I think pitchers complain about them not getting calls. Well, you got to throw a strike. That's what the plate's there for. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what the home plate's there for, is you got to throw it over the plate. You don't get to throw 98 sinkers off the plate and it be called a strike.
Wait a minute. That makes way too much sense. Now you're just being logical now. What the heck?
Yeah, that's what the plate's there for. I'm very passionate about that.
Okay. Did you get? Were there times though where, let's say, this is on plate, and it like barely grazed this thing, and you're like, oh, that's below my knees, or the catcher caught it way low, and you're like, that's not a strike,
and they called it a strike.
Yeah.
And like I could review it.
Or you're just like,
or let's say it did clip the zone,
yeah,
and I couldn't do anything. Well, that's a strike. You know, like that's one of the standards that they created, was mm-hmm. if it clips it, that's a strike. And like I can't argue with anything at that point. But when it comes to like, yeah, I'm glad they did that.
Has there ever been a successful review, a successful overturn?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
There was a time it was a 3-2 count and the dude threw it like this far off the plate, and I knew I started taking off my stuff, and I was like, "Blue, that's a ball," and I just started walking, and then it was a ball.
Okay,
but then I did it again, and it was a strike, and I had to put my stuff back on. So that me being confident got me there. But I like it.
All right. Well, good. John, as you
know, I got a couple.
Ask the non-baseball stuff.
Yeah, just fun stuff. You know, we've had John a couple times. We've talked about stuff you do on trips. We talked about your favorite foods. We talked about growing up playing other sports. One thing I wanted to learn. I got a couple guys that had one from Jason Daniels or Jason Hicks. He said, "Do you like signing autographs?"
I do like signing autographs. Signing autographs is part of the job.
Okay. Now, he's an autograph guy. I guess he asked us. I don't know if he's already
autographed 450 times. No. And I get it. It gets to a point where I've given that person enough autographs, and I know what they're going to be doing with them after a certain, you know, they don't have 50 handbooks that they're going to put them in.
Yeah. Right.
So they're going to put them online, and that's part of it too. But I think, you know, as a little kid, you know, those little kids look up to you, and I'm more than willing to sign for all those kids that, you know, so that's definitely part of the job.
So, but right now, but right now there are some retirees who are Rangers fans who are here. There are no kids. And then there are the autograph dealers, I guess.
The dealers, yeah.
Do you?
Here's my thing with it. And this is the first time I've actually talked publicly about this.
Okay.
But if you come to a game, like if there's like a game that you can come to and you're in the stadium and you're chilling next to the dugout and you're saying, hey, Mr. Foskey, can I get your autograph? I'm probably going to sign it.
Uh-huh.
But if you're going to catch me outside of the stadium next to my truck asking me, I'm probably not going to sign it because the game's over. I'm trying to go home,
trying to
be with my wife. But if you pay for a ticket and you get in, that's a, you know, I feel like a proper way to get an autograph. And
sure,
I respect that. If you want my autograph, come in the game, you know, ask me politely and there shouldn't be a problem with it.
Yeah.
So, now, if you're there for the next 2 weeks and you're the same guy, like, I'm like, I signed for you yesterday and the last 10 days. Like, what do you mean?
I get it. I mean, look, I've signed 3 autographs in my life and I questioned the people that asked for it. I'm like, really? So, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for you guys, the people that the memorabilia, all the stuff they do. I get that. Okay. When you were growing up, what was your favorite MLB team?
So I didn't have like a favorite MLB team. I get this question all the time. Like the closest team to me was the Atlanta Braves. But I didn't like grow up going to games because Atlanta was like 4.5 hours from my hometown. But I was more of like a players guy. Like I was a big Jeter fan. So I like always liked watching the Yankees, like Jeter, A-Rod, Robinson Cano. Like I grew up watching those guys, but I love Jeter. I loved like Nolan Arenado when he was on the Rockies. I wouldn't say like I had a favorite team, but I was more like I like to follow players and whatever team they're associated with, I'll probably root for.
Do you remember your first major league game you ever went to?
I think the first game that I ever went to might have been in Tampa, Florida at the Yankees.
Okay.
And, you know, I tried really hard to get A-Rod's autograph, but A-Rod had so many people.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think that would be, like, my first game that I went to as, like, a little kid, major league, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Mine was summer of 85, Cubs at Padres in the former Jack Murphy Stadium, which no longer exists.
Where was that?
San Diego.
But that's the same – it's not the same San Diego Stadium?
No. Petco, which is downtown. This used to be out where the Chargers played. It's been leveled and replaced by a new stadium for San Diego State. But it was, I thought it was great.
I might have went to a Cleveland. This is a funny story. So I told you I was like basically a Yankees fan with Jeter. So I go, my uncle's from Cleveland. So we go to an Indians game. I'm wearing all Yankees gear. The Indians won the game. I walk out all Indians gear. I said, Mom, I'm like, because I basically rooted for the team that won.
Oh, sure.
And since the Indians won that game, I was like, Mom, I want like an Indians jersey or Indians hat or whatever. So I ended up getting some Indians gear and I ended up leaving the stadium all Indians gear.
That's awesome. Okay.
Like, I'll ask my kids, I'll be watching a game and they'll be like, who are you going for? And I'll be like, you know, if it's the Broncos and the Raiders, let's say, I'll have the Broncos. And they'll say, what's the score? Raiders are up 14-7. I think I'm going to go for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the way. All right, so when you get to the big leagues, what current player will you be the most excited to play against or meet? You know, kind of that, holy crud. I mean, I'm on the field playing against, like, this current guy that's been, like, someone you've watched a while, or you.
Yeah, Mike Trout.
Oh, huh? Mike Trout.
Mike Trout. That's easy. That's a great one.
So when I was, I think I might have, when they built the new Ranger Stadium, I don't know if I was in Frisco at the time, No, that was in, they built it in 20.
They built it in 20.
So I was at the alt site.
There you go.
So I was at the alt site in 20, no fans.
Right.
We were training at Arlington. We go to a game one night. Trouty goes deep, and I'm like, okay. Like, he hit it, like, in the second deck, basically left
over center. Over the Whataburger thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's impressive. But, like, Trouty, I admire Trout because just, like, his greatness and everything. But and it'll be cool because they're in the same division. But, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll get to do it. Okay, I've got two more. We're going to let you get out of here. What is your favorite baseball movie?
Probably Moneyball.
Yeah, see,
that's pretty good.
Probably Moneyball. I think Moneyball highlights a lot of the things that, like, you know, a normal fan wouldn't really know. But it highlights a lot of the stuff that actually goes on.
Yeah, okay. It was revolutionary thinking at the time.
Revolutionary thinking at the time, but a lot of teams think like that now.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
The analytics comes into all of it, and they look for – it's on-base percentage. The OPS has become huge. So, okay, last question. You get to host a dinner party. Three former or current Major League Baseball players are invited. Who are they? What are you cooking?
Who are you cooking?
What am I cooking? Well, I'm not going to be cooking. My wife's going to be cooking. Three current or former players?
Well, Jeter, I mean, right? Well, maybe not.
This is a tough question. Because there's so many players to choose from.
I know it. There really is.
Golly.
This is going to be a fun one all year, I'm going to ask.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, personality.
Oh.
Well, that's a good way to go. They're making a conversation. Who'd have a great conversation?
Golly.
Can they be dead, John?
Well, no.
Oh, that okay. They're
not going to eat much.
You've heard people say, oh, well. If
you try to think of three teams. Circles. I'm going blank on the teams.
There's the Rangers.
There's the Rangers. Let's go Jeter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's go. Thinking of a Dodgers guy. Let's go Mookie Betts.
That's an interesting one.
Very good bowler.
Let's go with golly. I mean, I'm trying to come up with like the perfect answer, but
well, it's your answer.
I know.
Yeah. Maybe one of your teammates. Maybe you want Seager at dinner.
I haven't really talked with Seager yet.
Neither have we. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm trying to think of a pitcher.
I think Greg
I'll say my boy Jordan Westberg.
Okay, Jordan Westberg. What do you have? What's your wife cooking? What's your best meal?
Salmon, green beans, and rice.
Okay.
All right, that's good. All right, Jeff. Anything else for him?
Well, how does she prepare her salmon?
Yeah, what is she?
I don't know. I'm on the couch when she makes it.
Well, my wife is a phenomenal cook, just unbelievable. I try to say that every time I get the opportunity.
Yeah, I got the opportunity to say it. My wife's a really good cook.
It's a blessing.
Yeah,
my wife is a good cook if there is a recipe. She is not somebody that can look in the pantry, see what there is, and throw something together. She's the person that has to have the recipe, and it's good. But she's all right. She doesn't take offense to that. She gets it. She's like, you're right. So I actually cook more in my house.
Well, I was the cook to start, and now it's just It's not even close.
Me and my wife got a thing. She cooks, I do the dishes.
I do the dishes. I like doing dishes. It doesn't bother me to do dishes.
I don't like doing them, but that's the deal we made. And
well, the thing we got to do, when I was my kid's age, I was cleaning the damn kitchen. They're not in anything now. So it's time.
You're never too late. My kids didn't for a while too, Jeff, but I'm telling you, when they got in junior high and high school, they were doing it. It's never too late. You can kick them in.
No, it's got to start. They've been coasting for too long. It's time to learn.
That's absolutely right. Hey, Justin, man, dude, we appreciate you coming on. Jeff, you got anything else?
No, just see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll see you.
Yeah, he'll see you. I'll be out there March 6th, so I'll definitely come out and bug you, give you some crap when I get out there. But we'll be out there for another 6 days then, and Jeff, you're going to go back for the very end.
That's right. That's right.
So you'll see Jeff's pretty face a lot. You'll see me for a week there.
It'll be a fun month.
Yeah, it should be.
Absolutely. All right, that's Justin Foskew, infielder for the Texas Rangers. Justin, thanks so much for joining us. Have a good one. Guys, we're going down in the bus league after this. All right, a big thanks to Justin Foskew for joining us right there. It's time to go down in the bus leagues again. Don't know what all we can talk about down in the bus leagues. Wyatt Langford is in camp. You took some pictures of him today. I saw him. He's taking his batting. He got a little video. I tweeted it out. He's taking swings.
Yeah, he's here. I don't want to say we bum rushed him, but he'd been here about 20 minutes when we pounced on him. You know, get it out of the way, I guess. You know, there'll be stories on him and today at rangerstoday.com once we knock this stuff out. It's $5.99 a month, but we're running a special for the year.
$48
through next Friday. $48 for a year. So anyway, he's here. Took batting practice. He's really going to need to work on his defense this spring. Interestingly, Fangraphs did their list of top prospects in baseball, and he was number two. Between Jackson Holliday and Jackson Churios, but the Fangraphs said that because he doesn't really have a position and because his defense is kind of uncertain, that's why they went with Jackson Holliday. I mean, they considered Wyatt Langford
for the top overall prospect
baseball. It's an issue.
Fangraph has the Rangers have a 26% chance of winning the West. So it's weird how their things work. I don't know. But I like Fangraph, actually. It's fun to look up stats there.
Yeah. So he's here. A lot of the guys who need to step up, the upper level pitching guys, Owen White, Cole Wynn. Let me finish. Zach Kent. I was about to sneeze. Let's start again. Owen White, Jack Leiter, Cole Wynn, Zach Kent. Talk to them. I think that'll probably be the Sunday read. Friday on the farm, though, is going to be Cole Wynn, if I ever get around to finishing it. Had a good talk with him after his tour in Puerto Rico. And he's not high on what's happened in the last couple of years at AAA. It's been bad. But he's here, seems to be in good spirits. And there are minor leaguers here. They're working out right now. They're kind of staying out of the big leaguers' way. The big leaguers kind of have right of way out here. And so they've been working out in the mornings. But I saw Dane Acker when I went down to get Justin. I ran into Dane Acker, and he's doing good. The knee that he had a little surgery on, he said it's fine. Looking forward to catching up with a lot of these guys. You know, we can come out with these grand ideas. If I'm going to write this story, it's going to be great. And then somebody shows up, and it's like, well, poop, I need to write this story. So anyway, like Wyatt Langford today. So that's kind of put me behind the eight ball a little bit. But the farm system, which Baseball America rated third best in all of baseball, a lot of guys who are going to graduate and lose prospect status, Langford and Carter being the two most preeminent ones, but there's still a lot of talent down there. And I'm looking forward to our second trip, your first trip. And we'll be able to really dive guys and have some good talks with them. But
get on the back roads. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. Abby, I can't wait to see Abby up close. I've never seen Abby up close. He's probably going to start out in double A. You know, I want to see Sebastian again. Just, he was a specimen last year. I'm ready to see Walcott again coming in. Teodo, I want, you know, the new kid, I'm assuming they're going to get him stateside. The kid they just signed.
Polino.
But he's going to be in the top. I've got him in mind, which, by the way, I need to roll that out. We need to get that going.
I need to roll it. Just haven't edited it yet.
Yeah, and I've got to start doing the countdown on it. But I can't wait. And, guys, I can't say this over and over again. If you get a chance to go to spring training, it's a great time to get around these guys. It's going to be a little crazy this year. I think the people are going to be around. This is the world champions, so they're going to be around there. I can't wait to be out. Every day I'm looking for the videos Jeff's posting, and getting stuff out to me. You're writing more too. You got more things you're popping in and out. You got, you know, a couple dropped yesterday, and doing all that. So I've watched you at work. I know how you do it. So, it's exciting. This is where you need to be, guys. You need to be here at Rangers Today. $48 is a steal. This is going to get you info every day. You can join the newsletter. That one's free. Join the here in Odyssey again, who's got us on here. They're taking care of us too. The podcast is everywhere. So guys, this is where to be for your Rangers coverage. This is full Ranger coverage from the big leagues and front office all the way down to the minor leagues. There's no one that does it better.
Well, I agree with that. I couldn't agree more, but I really enjoy writing the minor leagues, and I think we do it better than anybody else. So, come on aboard, you know.
Yep.
The more the merrier.
Well, you know what? Let's get this out of here. Well, there wasn't going to be a lot to do today. You'll be still out there next week for our next episode. We'll get something in the can before you get on the airplane, probably. And then we'll be back in the studio the week after I think we're about one good week home before we head back out.
Yeah, we're looking at John Gray next week. He loves coming on our show.
I know.
Yeah.
What a guy. And
he thinks it's great. I think Justin thought it was great. We have a good time with these guys. And
y'all don't see the behind the scenes. Justin's giving me shit he's giving me crap because I can't get things set up. He's going, come on, John. You know, these guys, how's the mood? Does it seem like everybody's just in a, they're just, are they ready to get rolling?
Yeah, they're the same. I mean, the last time we saw them, they were celebrating, but it's now back to baseball. And, but this time of year, everybody's in a good mood. So that's good. Sure. John Gray next week, we're probably looking at Cole Wynn the week after that. And then we'll be here. So we'll figure out what we're going to do, but, good things are happening with the Rangers. Good things are happening with Rangers Today and the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big thanks to Odyssey. Big thanks to Justin Foskew. Thank you, Premier Properties, for sponsoring us coming out to spring training. Guys, we're going to put this one in the can and get out of here. Next week, John Gray's John Gray's supposed to join us. Until then, guys, see you at the yard.